Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 10 minutes past 1 and 14 degrees. And I have with me now Cindy McLeish, our local MP and the opposition spokesman for a number of different portfolios. Welcome, Cindy. Hang on, Cindy, we haven't got you. Now we're in business, sorry. You there, Cindy?
I am here.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Good afternoon, Alan. Good afternoon, everybody.
And it's good to see you along, Cindy. I didn't get a chance to speak to you off air. So, Cindy, what would you like to talk about first up?
Well, I think that what's been keeping me very busy this morning is a bit of earth tremor and earthquake activity.
Yes, terrible, wasn't it? It was one of the strongest ones we've had for a long while, isn't it?
Yeah, quite a long while. Quite a long while. It's a 5.6, I think they said.
Yeah. What do you know what point, and this is probably a technical question, it's not fair to ask you, but do you know what point it goes from a tremor to an earthquake?
No, I actually don't. It was actually a 5.8, which is fairly significant, but I guess the epicentre was not in the middle of nowhere, but close enough. You know, it was near Gaffney's Creek, Knockwood, which is on the road between Jamison and Woods Point. So it's really quite a remote area, I guess. So, and it was 10 kilometres down. Now, I don't know normally if an earthquake is 1 kilometre down or 15 or 20, you know, I'm not sure of that depth, how much that makes a difference, but I'll find out a little bit later. But, there's been a flurry of activity and, all around my electorate, definitely, of lots of stuff that's happening and many people.
It's in your area where it was the epicentre of it, really, isn't it?
Oh, look, yes, definitely. And, I've seen images of Chemist Warehouse in Mansfield, stuff on the floors. There's a lot of people have reported, like down in Healesville, like in the Yarra Valley, things moving on shelves and walls. Somebody told me they were outside and they could actually watch the hills move.
True.
And they thought, so that would have been good to see on film.
Probably will, some of it will. Everybody's got mobile phones there. Everything winds up on YouTube at some stage of the game, doesn't it? Or Facebook.
Absolutely. It certainly does. So I think at Mount Buller, the lifts snapped into automatic shut. But the CEO at Mount Buller has said there doesn't appear to be any damage anywhere up there, but they were still scurrying around. And I think that's what's happening at the minute. Everyone's just getting out and about to see what, if anything, has been damaged, any windows or things like that.
And, I don't know much about them, but it just seemed to go on for quite a long time because often it's just bang, it's a few rattles and it goes, but this one seemed to keep going for, well, I know it wasn't long, but it felt like a long while.
It did. It was 20 seconds. And I was actually, I was in the car at the time on hands-free talking to somebody in Healesville. And I was at Costella on the Melbourne. I didn't hear it, feel a thing.
Did you?
And Kerry saying to me, oh, look, we're having an earth tremor. Or maybe we're not. Maybe it's somebody doing some building works and, oh, no, everything's shaking in the house. And then all of a sudden, on the radio, everybody was talking about where they were, what they saw and what happened.
Yes, sir. All right, Cindy, I'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Where the Russians go when the party line's on hold. Let's not call up from Gorky Park to hang out with the Tsar. At that jukebox in Siberia, deep in the interior. Get down, Vladivostok and all the Russian Waldorf. That jukebox in Siberia, pounded out hysteria. All the Russians want to rock. Drop the rubles in the slot. That jukebox in Siberia.
Back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And I have with me Cindy McLeish, our local MP and spokesman on various issues. But we're talking to Cindy about the earth tremor we had this morning. And Cindy, you'd like to talk about the SES.
Well, that's right, because, the SES are one of our first responders in times of emergencies when things happen. But I've been in contact with the Mansfield SES and they've had zero calls.
That's terrific.
So I'm not sure about the rest of the state, but, the SES do a remarkable job. You know, they're all volunteers and they pretty well drop everything when they get paged. But, they had no calls and... An incident control centre is being set up in Mansfield for a couple of days. It's happening at the minute and the council is scooting around everywhere to see if there's any major damage. But, I think Chapel Street might have been damaged a little bit more than Mansfield.
I think there was. Cindy, I'll just ask you a question, and this is probably a bit unfair off the bat. So somebody's got a holiday home up in that way and... Under the rules, they're not allowed to travel, obviously. It's within 10 k's of home. What happens there? Are people allowed to go and check their holiday home, or is it just a bit of bad luck?
Look, they're not. That's as the rules stand now. Now, if you lived in Balborshire, you could quite happily go and check your holiday home. Yep. But if you've got in metro, at the moment you can't. And a lot of people are actually wanting to do that for bushfire preparation. The grass is getting very long because we've had a lot of rain and a bit of sun. Grass is quite long, but it's pretty hard to cut it at the minute because it's so wet.
Yep.
So people have wanted to do that, and that's not currently allowed. But, there gets a point where it gets a bit too ridiculous. Mm. And I'm not sure whether they would make exceptions for the earthquake. Maybe they will, and somebody has contacted us and we'll have a go. But... All reports out of Mansfield at the minute out of those areas is that doesn't seem to be any particular damage at this stage.
That's fantastic though, isn't it?
It is, but they're preparing for aftershocks as well. So, if there are aftershocks that maybe they will say to people, look, you can go and assess it for damage, but at the minute, you know, the council's running around and I don't know that they've identified terribly much structural damage anywhere.
No, that's terrific. And look,
yes, it's good.
We moved off that SES just a little bit quick. I must say that what you said is true, and I mean, a lot of these guys, they work three quarters a night, then they have to get up and go and do a full day's work. And women, I should say, they're not all guys.
Absolutely.
And then they have to get up the next day and go to work.
Look, it is. It's a really big job for volunteers. And people do expect that they're there all the time because they are, but they forget that they are volunteers. And, you know, when we had those storms, you know, we had the dreadful storms in the Dandenongs, the Yarra Ranges, that, you know, they were run off their feet. And there's only so many volunteer hours and, you know, and there's only so many hours in a row you can keep going. You know, if you've gone flat chat for a couple of days, you know, working really long and hard work, you know, you're going to have a rest. But the trees were still down and everyone had that expectation that they could be there, you know, immediately, and they absolutely do their best.
Yep.
And for a lot of times that they might not be called out for, you know, a month.
But when they're needed, they're really needed, aren't they?
Yes, and I do recall one of the guys, it was actually in Alexandra, one of the SES volunteers, and there was a school group out at night from Melbourne, and somebody had broken their leg or whatever, and they had to hike in. They had to hike in for a bit of, you know, with the stretcher to get this kid out. And the teacher said to the guys at the SES, well, you're all right. You're all on overtime.
Oh, that's not true.
And he said, you know, but I was horrified to think that, you know, people, and it was a school teacher, actually think that the SES aren't volunteers. And, you know, we have such a reliance on our volunteers that I think sometimes that we forget, and we need to make sure that everybody does know that they are volunteers, and there's only so much blood that can be got out of a stone at any particular point.
And I suppose while we're talking about them, we also should mention the CFA too, aren't they? Because a lot of those in the country areas, they're exactly the same.
Absolutely. Some areas don't have an SES, and the CFA might be the ones that are called out to do a road accident or whatever. They all have their different skills and they all know in their little groups who does what.
Yep.
And so that you've got, you know, if it's road accident recovery, that's great. But, you know, who can, you know, I think it's the Yellingbo CFA, I think, do animal rescue. Might be Macclesfield. One of the ones do animal rescue, you know, if a horse is stuck in a bog or whatever, that they can get it out. But, you know, you do have that capability, and it's not all of the brigades that have that. They all have their specialists to make sure that all bases are covered.
And the other thing, too, that while we're talking about the time, particularly the SES and the CFA put in, and everybody expects them to, but they also have to not only do when something like this happens, give up their time, but they've also got to give up a lot of time for training too, don't they? Because we expect them to be well trained when they get to the job.
That's right. It's like CFA, you know, and sometimes they get them to do all sorts of odd bits of training. Someone said to me the other day, you know, like, we really need to know how to put out fires. That's our core business at the CFA. You need to know what's a hazard, what's not a hazard, you know, and all of those things around it. And, you know, part of the training that they have, you know, that they'll go and learn, is chainsaw work, because, you know, like clearing trees, there's a lot of heavy chainsaw work and they need to have the skills. No good having fancy machinery if people don't know how to use it, so, and use it safely.
Yeah, true. Cindy, we'll just take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
Right. people on the streets.
Slashed and torn.
Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. Cindy, you want to talk a little bit about the vaccination rates?
Look, that's right. It's very easy to actually look up, you know, on the internet to find out what how your council is doing in terms of vaccination rates. And, you know, it's updated. The site that I've got at the minute, you know, is updated 30 minutes ago, which gives you a real feel for in real time how many people have got one or two jabs and who hasn't. And, you know, it's quite interesting. So in Yarra Ranges, 71.9% of people have had one jab and 43.2% have had both. So, you know, that's 4 out of 10 people. And if you have a look, Maroondah's close by, that then Whitehorse, they're about the 75% have one jab and 46. So they're a little bit ahead of Yarra Rangers. Nillumbik, also just over the road, you know, they've got 82.7% had one jab and nearly 54% have had two. So every second person over the age of 16 in the Nillumbik Shire has had had two. And Murrindindi is not quite at 50% for two jabs as well. So people are out there, you know, whether they think so or not, a lot of people are very happy and want to get jabbed, and other people have reservations. And I saw this morning that the government is talking about mandatory now for teachers to be jabbed as well by a certain date. So there's lots of movement in this space. But for anyone who's interested, you know, you have live data, and across the state, 73.5% of people have had the jab. So Yarra Ranges is a little bit lower than that with one jab, and they're still lower on the 44. We are at nearly 45 on the double jab.
All right. And so what's that website, Cindy, if anyone wants to look at it?
Look, I'm just, there's many sources. I'm looking at one that's covidlive.com.au, but you can look at the DHHS, they have it as well. So, you know, they would probably be the first source of information and others get it from there. But, you know, you can keep a bit of a running commentary. And it also, you know, we've got 58 people at the moment in ICU. So I think people, you know, like to know actually, look, how sick are people? And there's more than that in hospital. But one of my friends has actually been in hospital with COVID at the Alfred.
Have they?
He didn't have his vaccination, and he was dreadfully ill. In fact, I felt terrible talking to him because I was worried it was taking too much out of him. Mm. You know, I could hear the struggle with the breathing. It was terrible. Taking so much out of him that Jeff said to me, "Oh, you got rid of him quickly." He said, "I didn't want to talk to him. I didn't. It was terrible."
That's no good. What else would you like to talk about, Cindy?
Look, I think that times like this, and we've mentioned this before, that, you know, it's really important that we get out and look out for our neighbours.
Yes.
You know, we're still pretty locked down, and even if it opens up to, you know, the 10 kilometres, for a lot of people that's not a lot of help. You know, you look at the distance between Warburton and Yarra Junction, you know, if you want to go and walk somewhere different or... you know, just have a bit of a change of scenery, go and exercise. You know, it's not making a huge impact, you know, being able to be out for 2 hours and 3 hours. And I think people have been really left flat thinking that, you know, we're talking about Christmas now.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Christmas is going to come very quickly too, isn't it?
Well, it's still 3 months away. But when the thought of for people being, you know, having some sorts of lockdowns, and you know, we're still pretty locked down. You know, even in the country, in the bush, we still have to have the masks, and they've got this rule: you can only have 10 people under one roof space. So you have a lot of cafes and restaurants and hotels that have got several areas, and they're only allowed to have 10 people inside. Now, there's a lot of places, you know, the Black Spur Inn, for example, the Black Spur Inn aren't going to open. Because, you know, it's just not worth their while.
It's not going to pay.
And there's no one coming up. You know, like people come up from Healesville, they go over the spur, and, you know, that's where they get their custom from. So there's lots of businesses in country Victoria that are still, even though they can open, aren't opening. And, you know, we've got the grand final holiday coming up on Friday. And... you know, it's a public holiday, and a lot of the shops aren't open in any case. And those that can open are saying, well, look, you know, this is still not worth our while because we have to pay, you know, time and a half or whatever the triple time the wages are. So, you know, people say they're still locked down by proxy in the country, but you've just got to have a look out for people near you. And sometimes if people need help, they're not going to ask for it.
No. True.
You know, and dropping a meal or helping out in some way, even helping out, you know, with minding the kids or, you know, I mean, I guess you're probably not supposed to do that. But, you know, if they're really at wit's end and they just need 5 minutes, you know, it can fall under that caring banner.
And I suppose also there's nothing to stop anyone making a phone call, is there?
Nothing to stop, and lots of people having Zoom like we are now,
yes,
you know,
yep,
over the internet. I can see you.
Cindy, I'm just going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Sure.
It's a lonely
that was Barbara Streisand, but she was with our very own Bee Gees. I haven't heard of Barbara Streisand before with the Bee Gees, so it's fabulous. We're with Cindy McLeish, and we talk about all things about the community. Cindy, you'd like to talk about some of the community groups that are still able to meet.
That's right. Well, people are, you know, doing their best, and again, it's by Zoom, because the communities, you know, you've strong communities and you've got some really great workers in so many areas. And on Sunday, I was at the Hickey, which is in Healesville. That's a, you know, does a lot of the volunteer drivers and things. Yep. And they actually, I'll mention this, they talked about one of the drivers who has been a board member for a while, but he's retiring. And they figured the number of kilometres he's done taking people to and from shopping trips or doctor's appointments, which is what, you know, people often really need if they lose their ability to drive. And they said that they thought Peter had driven around the world 1.5 times.
True.
In his work for Hickey.
That's terrific, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, there are some terrific people. I was actually at a group last night, and we were talking about community service. And, I mean, there are some fabulous people do some fabulous things in our community, don't they?
Look, they absolutely do. And, you know, by doing the welfare checks, because they know that people can't come out, and there's people, they usually have a Tuesday night dinner at Darren's, which is really fabulous, and people do get along there, but they haven't been able to have that. So, you know, they've got to look out in other ways for the people that they know would might be more vulnerable than others, you know, or don't have any support systems around them, to make sure that they have food or that they can get out. And if they can't cook, that there are preparations and things there in place so that they can do things okay. And, you know, it's really difficult, because with medical appointments, you can attend the doctor. You can go to the doctor for a variety of things. It's a legitimate reason to be out of the house. But a lot of people put those things off.
Because they're worried about that, aren't they? Particularly the cancer and that. They're saying that some people just aren't going, which should be going.
Oh, absolutely. They're not going at all. The breast screen, in fact, they stopped for a while, and then they came back at a half rate, because they had to clean all of the gear between people and things like that. And it really slowed down. It slowed down significantly, the amount of churn of people that they could get through.
And the trouble is that the people, while it slows the people down, it's not slowing the disease down, is it? It's still, whatever disease it is, it can still, it's going to go on at its rate, isn't it?
That's right. And so, look, you know, if you have trouble, if you need to go to the doctor, you still need to go. You can't put it off, because there are still things that are happening. People still get infections and diseases and all of that. So you do need to, you know, reach out. And you could call Hickey if you're in the Yarra Valley, or Link out of the Presbyterian Church in Wurrialik. They do a lot of assistance and give that sort of assistance to people as well. So there are organisations out there to help support. And, you know, there's food bank, and there's availability of food. And, you know, I know that there have been people that have been really hardly hit who don't want to ask for food. But, you know, if you know that you can get a couple of meals on the table for the next 2 or 3 days, you know, like, that's really important that you do. Or if you're their neighbour, just to really try and help out.
And some of these people never ever thought they'd be or would have been unemployed, would they? They were just people who'd been in jobs a long while. COVID came along, and their business had to close down. And you know, people shouldn't be too proud to ask, should they?
No, but they are. And you get a lot of small businesses that don't have, you know, huge input. They're not a huge income. They're not registered for GST. They're ineligible for just about everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's really, really tough for those people when you, you know, you're struggling to pay the mortgage or the electricity bill because you don't have any income, and, you know, you've got to get food on the table for the family as well, and trying to homeschool kids. You know, it's really tough for some people. Others who haven't lost their jobs, and some are getting, you know, extra money to stay at home and to work, you know, they're in a much, much stronger position. And I think, you know, they really need to look at those around them, because too many businesses have closed, too many people have said to me, it's just got too hard. And, you know, when you lose all these businesses, it's hard to re-establish.
Well, people, other people are frightened to borrow money to start another business, aren't they?
Yeah.
All right, I will come back to you in a couple of minutes, Cindy.
Sure.
Listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the Yarra Valley.
And you're listening to Community Connections, and I have with me Cindy McLeish. Cindy, we've been talking about, you still want to talk about a few groups that are still able to be doing what they want to do or what they'd like to do.
That's right. And when you say, you know, open, they're still active, but not out and about breaking the rules.
That's fair enough too.
I'm not encouraging anyone to break the rules here, Alan.
I
just mentioned Link and Hickey that do work and trying to support the community and help others. There are other organisations that help the community in other ways, and I'm thinking like the Millgrove Residents Action Group, Reefton McMahon Action Group. I've talked about them before, and CEDA, the Warburton Economic Development Group, and I think there's the Advancement League in Warburton too. You know, and these organisations are still having, their regular meetings because they've got all their little projects and things like that they want to get moving. And so even though we've kind of stopped and we've, lost 2 years of our lives, there's still stuff that needs to be done. There's still projects that are on the drawing board, whether it's walking trails or the mountain bike projects or different things in different areas. You know, they're still continuing to meet, and I think that's terrific.
That, and this comes back to what we were saying a few minutes ago. There is just so many, probably millions of hours per year put in by people who get nothing out of it for themselves, not paid, just trying to better where we live.
Absolutely. And, you know, so these people, it's great that they can actually meet. And if, you know, you haven't had spoken to anyone all day, knowing that you can go on and have, you know, your regular meeting at night with a, you know, a group of 10 or 15 people or something like that is terrific. But, you know, the hospitals rely heavily and have done for ages on volunteers. Yep. And all of the hospitals, like I think the Royal Children's had like 600-800 volunteers.
Yep.
They can't have them now. And so the huge difference is that people who were sick, sometimes they didn't have family, sometimes it was an additional support because the family lived a long way away. You know, and it really pains me because I know that, you know, kids who are in out-of-home care, for example, get sick and they don't have anyone to visit them or look out for them. And when you have volunteers at the children's coming in to visit them, you know, it's somewhere, someone to talk to them, to hold the hand and, you know, to care. And, you know, it makes it really difficult when you're not allowed
to
visit.
Yeah.
And this is... Go on.
No, sorry. No. I just coughed.
I was just going to say, this is where, you know, you look at, you know, rapid testing or what they do in other countries, that if you can have a rapid test outside the hospital before you go in to say, look, I've just had the test, here it is, I'm negative. Great, let's go in, let me in, and I can see people. Because, you know, you hear so many stories of people who are really sick who are essentially on their own, and that must be just a miserable position to be in.
Yeah, it certainly would. Do you think it will eventually come in, Cindy, rapid testing?
Look, it has to. Other states are doing it. All around the country are doing it. Victoria's just being very stubborn and don't want to do it. Around the world, they're doing it. And, in fact, I saw it was in Paris. You know, they were opening up and they were having people come out and you had to be double vaccinated. But not everyone is. Not everyone's going to be. Not everyone wants to be. And if you weren't, here you go. There were all these little tents that popped up that you can have your rapid test and you can have it. And you can show them, here it is, I've just had my test result, I'm negative. And then you could go in, so you don't miss out, you know. They're doing that in lots of places. Some are still chopping and changing the rules around that. But I think, you know, we need to be able to move to do stuff like this. That they can buy them over the supermarket counter, you know, for $7 or $10 in Europe.
All right. Cindy, part of your area is up around Mount Buller and all those. How are they? I know that the regions are now open, but I would have thought that a lot of their visitors would have come from Melbourne, wouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So it hasn't made a huge difference. What did happen though, when people could from Melbourne get up to Mount Buller, for example, and they could, they were up there when the lockdown started. Many stayed.
Oh, did they?
Even though the lifts were shut, and apparently there are all these makeshift things that people did, but people stayed. You know, a lot of people, when they could travel, had and they'd gone to their holiday homes or whatever, and they'd relocated, and they've been able to stay there, and that's caused no problems.
No, that's good too. And the other thing is, I mean, some of those shops and that up there, they only make their money for the 3 or 4 months of the year, don't they?
Yep. January. For a lot of those places, January and Easter, or Easter and then you've got, you know, your school holiday periods. And so now with school holidays, you know, with people from Melbourne not being able to go there. Now, I know some friends of mine are in Swan Hill, which is great, getting out and about among the regions. And when I was at Yark on the weekend, there were people travelling to Benalla, there were people travelling to Wangaratta, but all from country areas going through. It helps. But it's really not the same as that huge population out of Melbourne.
Well, it's
able to get out and about.
I would have thought that more people would come out of Melbourne, wouldn't they, than out of the regions?
Absolutely. And that's what, you know, the tourism dollar in Victoria in the regions is really based on people coming out of Melbourne. It's not people coming out of Sydney. It's not people coming from Singapore or China. It's, you know, getting people on the move to key events and big things that you've got that you can showcase.
Yep. Cindy, have you got a this is probably a bit hard to ask you right on the spur of the moment. Have you got a... if somebody wants to check their availability as what they're allowed to do, it's mainly the DHS website that they would go to, is it?
That's right. And you've got... If they put Victoria's roadmap in, that should bring up, and it's pages. I've got it here in front of me, you know, pages and pages of... what you can and can't do. Now, it kind of doesn't have everybody. There are a number of gaps that they've missed out. You know, we're not sure whether the meat workers are going to continue to be able to work or be closed down, and that could jeopardise the availability of meat. But, you know, and if you haven't fallen through the gaps, contact us and we can help you navigate through or go to the department or to the minister's office directly to work it out for you.
No, I hate to throw... work all your ways, but I guess that's the way. That's the way. Well, unfortunately, probably everybody wants to ask the same few questions. But I guess people do need to know. And I mean, if they do the wrong thing, ignorance is not part of the law, is it? You're still going to get fined. So they're better to come and talk to your office or whoever's office and find out what they're getting. And the other thing is too. In these times, hearsay takes too big a part too, doesn't it? And they really need better advice than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Cindy, unfortunately, the time's gone. The hour goes really quick when I've got you in, but it's time for the 2 o'clock news. So thank you for your time and we look forward to seeing you the fourth Wednesday of next month.
No worries. Bye.
Thanks, Cindy. Bye.